Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Acts, chapter 15, beginning with verse 40. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, beginning with verse 40. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord, and he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through Phrygian and Galatian regions, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. In our reading for this week in Acts chapter 16, and I did link the last few verses of chapter 15, we see Paul starting the second missionary journey. At the end of 15, he and Barnabas have had a disagreement about John Mark. Barnabas has taken John Mark and gone to the island of Cyprus to revisit the churches that were established there, and Paul has chosen Silas. And they are headed back toward the churches of Galatia, which are Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And in the process of this overland travel that Paul and Silas are doing, Paul must have come very close, if not even gone through, his hometown of Tarsus. We just don't have any record of any activity there. But remember, it was to there that Paul had fled whenever he had been rejected by the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And that's where Barnabas went and picked him up and then got him involved in the Gentile work. Paul is fully committed to proclaiming the message of God to the Gentiles. He knows that this is his commission. This is where Christ is sending him. And yet as he goes through this region, and he starts from the bottom of the churches, because it's the furthest south. He starts with Derbe and then travels to Lystra. He finds a young disciple there by the name of Timothy, and I'm going to beg off on talking much about Timothy till this afternoon, where I have quite a few passages of Scripture that have to do with Timothy in the New Testament. And of course, you know of the two books that are addressed to him, Paul's son in the faith. But here is Paul, just having rejected John Mark, not because of his youth, but because of his, in Paul's mind, spiritual instability. And now he has chosen Timothy, who appears to be a young man, so that he might, I think, impress upon him the need to spread the gospel. Timothy becomes an apprentice to Paul. And we don't always see Timothy in some of the scenes where Paul receives persecution, like he's going to receive in Philippi, as we'll get to next week, Lord willing. But Timothy is there. But there's someone else there as well. There's Paul and Silas and Timothy. And if you noticed, I tried to emphasize it just a little bit in verse 10. Luke, as he is writing the book of Acts, changes from they did this or that and says we. At some point, Luke has joined them somewhere around Troas, we believe, and now it is we are traveling from here to there. So there's another member of the party. Luke, recording this Acts of the Church, Acts of the Apostles, history of the Church, for a friend of his that he wants to impress the truth upon. And here he is actually a participant in what's taking place. We know that Paul is being led by the Spirit. And there are many indications of that, which we will discuss in this chapter, that Paul is yielding himself totally to Christ. And he's been doing that for the last 17 plus years. Perhaps we are currently somewhere around 20 years after the church has been established, and at least 18 years after Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. And as he is totally committed to Christ and his will, he listens closely to what God has to say to him. And as we looked at the Galatian letter that he wrote to these churches that he is now visiting just prior to his coming, we believe, as he wrote to the Galatian brethren, he made a strong contrast between what the law of Moses requires for salvation in the way of animal sacrifices and physical circumcision to that which Christ requires, which is the blood of Christ to be accessed through the waters of baptism, and then for circumcision to be that of the heart, a cutting away of sin. And so Paul is very staunch, and to some he probably is a bit abrasive. But what's unique about this choosing of Timothy, I think, is that it's from the city of Lystra. What happened to Paul in Lystra on his first missionary journey? Well, if you recall, it was in Lystra that they healed a lame man. Paul and Barnabas came into the city and saw a lame man that was a believer and healed him. And the people immediately said that they were gods, that they had come down to earth, that Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes. And they began to try to offer sacrifices to them. And Paul and Barnabas stopped them. But then the Jews who had not accepted Christ from Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium stirred up the crowds. And at Lystra, Paul was dragged outside of the city and stoned and left for dead. Now, in that incident where it says that Paul was stoned, turn back with me to chapter 14 of verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Before the stoning of Paul, there was already a church established. There were already believers in Christ. We don't get all of that except in that small reference that while the disciples stood around, Paul got up. I believe Paul was resurrected. I think he actually was stoned to death. But now we come back to this city and Paul finds a man who is a disciple by the name of Timothy and his mother. And we'll look at his mother's pedigree this afternoon. But his mother, Timothy's mother, is also a disciple. Paul turns to this young man, and I don't know if he says, "Would you want to fill out a resume to travel with me?" Turns to this young man and lets him know that he would be a great asset to the work. Now, within Paul's possession at this very moment is a letter from the Jerusalem church, from the elders and the apostles of Jerusalem, saying that no man has to be physically circumcised in order to be pleasing to God and be forgiven of their sins. And yet with that letter in his possession, which he is showing to the churches to make the clear delineation between the law of Moses saving and that of the gospel of Christ, he takes Timothy, after Timothy agrees to go with him, and circumcises him. Because of the Jews that are in that area who know that Timothy's father is a Greek. Why does Paul do that? Is that inconsistency on his part? No, remember that Paul says, I become all things to all men that I might thereby save some. Because Paul is able to continue to practice the customs of the Jews, he can enter into the synagogues. And so it now will be with Timothy. He can't be rejected from entering the synagogues or even the temple courts because he is uncircumcised. That shows maturity on Timothy's part as well, that he is willing to accept circumcision as an adult male, even though it's no longer required in order to be saved. As Paul then finishes up with encouraging the churches, we get to the crux of today's lesson. He begins to look for new grounds in which to spread the gospel. And so just imagine that he is somewhere to the north, perhaps still in the city of Antioch of Pisidia, maybe traveling just a little bit. And he looks to the west, to the country of Asia, probably one of the churches that you're most familiar with later on in the book of Acts is the church of the Ephesians at Ephesus. Perhaps Paul is thinking of the populace in that direction. Whatever reason, he's ready to go there, and the Holy Spirit tells him no. Verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. They passed through Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So they travel on, and if you have a map that shows this second missionary journey, you know that they are not traveling in a due north or a due west. They're kind of headed to the northwest. And so it says, then the Holy Spirit forbade Paul from going to Bithynia. And if you look on the map, Bithynia is to the northeast. He can't go left, he can't go right. And so he's told no, no. You ever been told no? When all you're trying to do what you think is right? So if Paul can't go west and he can't go to the northeast, then he continues to travel to the northwest. And he ends up in Troas, a city that is on the port, a port city. And it's due north of Ephesus. Now he's on the coastline. And there he receives a vision. Are you familiar with the work of a painter by the name of Thomas Kincaid? I'm sure you've seen his work. May even have a copy of it somewhere. If you have an original, then you really are blessed. But Thomas Kincaid paints very serene scenes with light. And the light may be flowing from the sky. It may be flowing out of the house. But around, though still beautiful, is somewhat darkened. And there is this shaft of light, or light illuminating from, I think, each of his paintings. I may be wrong. Maybe he's painted some that doesn't have this particular theme to it. But as you look at his paintings, you get a sense of warmth, of safety. The light is a beacon, much like a lighthouse would be. And it may simply be a cottage deep in the dark woods with a light on. Well, as Paul resides in Troas briefly, the Holy Spirit visits him. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 16. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. We have a song that includes that. It's in verse 2 of the song. But turn with me to song 736. And we'll sing the first two verses. 736.
No soul. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
We have heard the Macedonian call. Hopefully you have found Macedonia on your map. There are three main churches that we will see as we go through this excursion of Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke as they travel Macedonia. Philippi being the one furthest to the east. Then they go to Thessalonica and then finally to Berea. The Macedonian call. Who gave that call? When Paul begins to convert those that are in the regions of Macedonia. We're going to see Lydia, who's a woman, and her household. We know the Philippian jailer was not one who was, at that time, when Paul receives the vision, striving to be a Christian. He is converted, but he's a Roman prison guard. When they get to Thessalonica, the church there, for the most part, not the church, but the synagogue there, rejects them. There are those. Perhaps the call came. Or perhaps it's Berea, because it says that the ones in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was so. And as a synagogue, it seems that the Berean became brethren in large part in mass. You say, you don't have to figure out who sent that call. It was sent by God, and you're exactly right. This man calling for someone to please send the light, I have written out on the marquee, Paul heard the Macedonian call, please send the light. That's just God's way of communicating. And it has been through the years, hasn't it? Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 records, he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. What God declared was that I will make my will known to those who are my spokesmen. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, don't we? Even down to young Samuel as he hears God call his name, Samuel, Samuel. And finally, he's encouraged by his mentor, Eli, to say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. The Hebrew writer records in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, and there were many ways that God appealed to those men of his and gave them the truth to deliver or the covenant to keep. But the Hebrew writer says, verse 2 of Hebrews 1, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son. So he spoke in many and various ways to the prophets in visions and dreams. But in these last days, meaning in this current age, God has given us directions through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Send the light, God did that in sending Jesus to earth. Christ is now that light. Jesus identified himself as such in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. 2,000 years ago, Jesus declared himself to be the source of safety, to be the beacon of hope. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Saul of Tarsus almost missed it, didn't he? Even becoming a persecutor of the church before being blinded by the light on the road to Damascus. And that is the effect of God's word. You either turn to it and follow its directions, or it is overwhelmingly blinding. And those who willingly reject the gospel become blinded then to the truth of what God has for them to do and to salvation. Paul has seen Christ in that blinding light. Paul has walked with Christ for a period of maybe as much as 3 years in the Arabian desert. He revealed for us in his letter to these same brethren in Galatia. He truly is an apostle, he says, not from man or through man, but through direct revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul knows his Savior, and he knows his commission. It's not going to be an easy life. But when called by God in Troas to go to Macedonia, we understood, as Luke records, that we had been called to preach the gospel there. Why did God do that? Why not to Asia? Why not to Bithynia? That's not for us to know, is it? Although Paul will eventually get to the Ephesian brethren, even by the end of this journey, he will circle around. It's as if that line that he is now traveling to the northwest hooks due west, then goes back to the south. He ends up in Corinth and then passes through. He doesn't spend any time in Ephesus, but he passes through Ephesus before returning and completing his second missionary journey. And then it's on his third missionary journey that he's going to spend 2 years there. It was a matter of timing. And God knew what time it was. God always knows what time it is. Things that I want to happen now may not. And things that I don't want to happen may very well take place. Because God is the one who holds the future. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And so Paul responds to this call. He doesn't get discouraged by being told no, no. Instead, when he gets a yes, he accepts it readily, and they go into Macedonia and preach the gospel, beginning at Philippi, where we will start next week, Lord willing, with the household of Lydia. Our God is amazing, isn't he? I want you to compare for just a moment, as the passage in Hebrews alluded to the fact that God has spoken to our fathers through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. I want you to see the similarities. There's many differences, but see the similarities in God speaking to Abraham and in this incident and what we've seen in Paul's life already. A comparison of Abraham and Paul. Both are called away from what's familiar to them. Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, from his father's household, to wander about wherever God might take him. So too Paul has been called away from his father's house, from being a staunch Jew in Jerusalem, an antagonist to Christianity. And yet Paul is following the call of God. And both faithfully follow where God leads them. Abraham gets the covenant of physical circumcision. Paul gets the covenant of spiritual circumcision, of baptism, and institute them faithfully. This is one you might not think of. Both are a light to the nations, plural. When God called Abraham, he said, through your seed will come one, and I will make you the father of many nations. Even in his call, and Abraham being the father of the Jews, instituting the covenant of circumcision and that being a part of the law of Moses for 2,000 years after Moses, after Abraham, 1,500 years after Moses, Abraham was told that he would be the father of many nations. So Paul is the apostle directed to go to the Gentiles, to the many nations. In fact, Paul is fulfilling the prophecies that were given to Abraham. 2,000 years separates them, and yet both are heaven-bound, Abraham and Paul. The Hebrew writer says of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10 that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And in reality, both Abraham and Paul are the communicators of an eternal covenant, that which all men everywhere are called. As Jesus spread his message and he talked to his disciples, Mark records for us, and wasn't that interesting about Mark that we looked at last week in the fellowship hall, how that he was groomed and matured so much so that we believe that he even wrote the gospel of Mark. Well, Mark records for us in Mark chapter 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. For whom is the gospel? To any of faith. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. If you have those who believe and are baptized, then they shall be saved. It's still the message of, would you be God's people? Then follow God's direction. We will stand if we'll but listen to what God has to offer. He's graciously provided for us the good news, a message of forgiveness, a message of hope, a message of light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. That message is still relevant and is still so needed by our world. We look so many places that are but corners of darkness when the light shines forth from the cross. Let me read you one final Old Testament passage. This is Psalms 43 and verse 3. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling. The message that God has proclaimed throughout the scriptures, through Abraham, through Moses, through the apostles, and now specifically through Paul, is that in Christ and in Christ alone, there is light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.